Medicine Sans Frontières has been ordered to stop providing mental health treatment to asylum seekers in Nauru and were forced to leave the country in just 24 hours. Now adults and children are without help or seemingly hope. David Mann is the Executive Director of Refugee Legal and has 20 years' experience as a human rights lawyer and activist. The Wire's Alex Jacobs spoke to him about the departure of MSF.
This is a profoundly concerning and extremely dangerous move to abruptly order MSF to stop providing vital medical treatment to people, asylum seekers and refugees on Nauru, who so desperately need that care. So it is a situation which MSF themselves say will put lives at risk.
The mental health treatment that they provide actually extends to local population as well. So why would the Nauru government force MSF to leave?
Why the Nauruan government would have decided to do this when vital medical assistance is being provided to asylum seekers, refugees and local Nauruans is extremely unclear. I don't want to speculate on the precise causes, but one of the consequences of this move is almost certainly going to be to deprive asylum seekers and refugees who are being treated the vital care they need. But also, we also know that courts in Australia have consistently ordered, when cases have been brought, consistently ordered the emergency evacuation of refugees from Nauru on the basis that they need to be brought to Australia to get the medical care they need. Those cases have relied significantly on expert medical evidence. Ordering MSF off Nauru, of course, is going to potentially deprive people of receiving not only medical care, but the medical evidence that they need in order to bring a case to be evacuated because they cannot get the care they need on Nauru.
Executive Director of Refugee Legal, David Mann. Clinical psychologist Dr. Christine Ruffner was a part of the MSF group forced to leave Nauru, where she worked as the mental health activities officer. She says she was completely unprepared for the hopelessness and despair shown by refugees.
I've been with MSF in other missions involving refugees, including Lesbos in Greece, and I've worked with survivors of sexual violence and torture. So I thought I was well prepared for Nauru, and in many ways I was. What I wasn't prepared for, and what I don't think is possible to prepare for, is the level of hopelessness and despair in the population there. Working with individuals, I did some work with couples and families. It's hard to find even one element of hope to motivate people to somehow reduce their symptoms. Symptoms of depression, symptoms of anxiety, obsessive-compulsive symptoms, psychotic symptoms, including auditory hallucinations. It's hard to find resources within people because they're just shattered. They're almost empty inside, and they're at a complete loss for moving, how to move forward in their lives. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting for years. And we worked with people who have tried to find jobs on the island or have tried to maximize their life on the island. But ultimately, you're trapped. You know that there's governments keeping you there, that there's money being exchanged for yourself, for you as a human. And as long as you know that, you're dehumanized and kept in this extremely difficult environment where there's no way out and there's no way of knowing how or when you will get out.
A lot of those issues are facing children as well. What things are these kids going through?
I was on the island a relatively short time. My mission had just started, and so I didn't work a lot with children while I was there. The children I did see, when I saw them in our clinic, they lost their sense of playfulness. They lost a sense of curiosity. You see them sitting completely still. I did a couple of home visits with the team to visit children, and we visited children who hadn't left their bed in days or weeks, and it's nothing I've encountered in my life as a psychologist.
With MSF leaving, Nauru has said that they have enough mental health services on the island. Is that true at all?
I strongly disagree with that. We were asked to send all of our referrals who needed more intense levels of care because we were only an outpatient clinic. So we have no inpatient beds. We have no intensive outpatient options. The only option that we were allowed on the island was to refer them to the Nauru Hospital. The hospital, as I mentioned, has no psychologists, no therapists, and has one new psychiatrist who doesn't speak English and does not have a translator. So I'm completely unsure how we were asked to refer patients to the hospital when they don't have sufficient services to see people.
What do you hope happens to all the families, the asylum seekers on Nauru?
The only possible solution for the people who are trapped on Nauru is evacuation. is moving them to a safe and stable environment where they can access quality mental health treatment easily and where they have freedom to live a life where they can make their own choices.
Dr. Christine Rifner, a clinical psychologist at MSF, speaking there to The Wire's Alex Jacobs.